Turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah 24, we'll be reading three verses 13, 14, and 15. If you'll join with me on that, verse number 14. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Isaiah chapter 24, beginning in verse number 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. And let's pray this morning. Our God, again, it is such an honor and a privilege to come to this place. I pray, Lord, that Your name would be glorified. Lord, I pray that from the message today that we would get exactly what You have for us. And I pray that we leave different than the way we came. Bless the special. In Your name we pray. Amen.
There's a covenant sweet, it was written for me. It's a promise that I could be healed from all my sin and my shame, even heartache and pain. It was signed and confirmed on a hill. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied, oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. Don't feel sorry for me when you see I'm in need. There's a judge who grants mercy and love. All my burdens He lifts, all my sin He forgives. Every trial is won through the blood. So I rest my case at the cross. For now I have someone to champion my cause. I've been justified, satisfied, oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Been justified, satisfied, oh, I have it all. So I rest my case at the cross. I've been justified, satisfied, oh, I have it all. So I rest
to shout, didn't you? Amen. God bless you, Brother Joe. What you want to bet that baby will be able to sing? Amen. I think so. Great. Thank you, Joe and Becca. God bless you. Glad you're in this weekend and appreciate you singing. I want to preach this morning for a little bit on this subject. Go over the vine one more time. Got some Murphy-itis this morning. Amen. Daryl Murphy-itis. Go over the vine one more time. You'll understand as we get into it. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the truth that we just heard in song. Thank you for the salvation that has been purchased for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't want to be selfish with that. That's why we have a missions conference and a soul-winning program and run buses. We'd like for everybody to get in on the salvation that's so freely offered. And I pray that you'll help us today. God, as we get ready now for the most important time in the calendar of our year, I pray, God, that you'll just help us to focus in. Spirit of God, would you please control both speaker and listener this morning that our hearts might be helped, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. And amen. Can you picture two women walking into Bethlehem, Judah, late one afternoon? They are coming into town by way of the main road that leads slightly northeast out of town. Their journey began in Moab, and they walked north, due north, up until they got beyond where they could cross over the top north end of the Dead Sea. And then they did, when they got up there, they turned westward and they followed that road right into Bethlehem, Judah. One of those women is older. Her face is lined with wrinkles. Some have been placed there by her age. Others have been placed there by sorrow. She has lost her husband and she's lost two sons in the land of Moab. Some of those wrinkles are there from being out of the will of God. Because folks, like it or not, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. Some of those wrinkles are placed there by worry because she is accompanied by one of her daughters-in-law and she feels responsible for her well-being. The other woman is young. She is attractive. She's still in the beauty of her youth. She's not without sorrow, though, because her husband died in the land of Moab as well. They had no children, so she decided to accompany her mother-in-law to her homeland in Bethlehem, Judah. As they come into town, they have little or nothing. Maybe a sack containing a few items of clothing. They have no money and a few, if any, other belongings. The older woman leads them to the old house. The house where she used to live with her husband and her two sons a little over 10 years ago. She's returned now to that house, broken and empty. They draw some water, they clean up, and they lay down for some much needed sleep and rest. And early the next morning, the younger woman rises and she tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, I am going to the field to glean some ears of corn. And Ruth, Naomi says, Ruth, that's fine. God bless you and bless what you do today. So Ruth goes to the field. And by hap, just by the will of God, by the hand of a gracious and merciful God, she lands in the field of Boaz. And she begins to glean in that field. And not long after that, Boaz, the Jewish kinsman redeemer, takes Ruth, the old Gentile Moabite, as his bride. And Ruth is entered into the lineage of King David. What a story. What a story. And I'm not here to preach about that this morning, but that was the introduction to the message. I want to talk to you about gleaning. That's probably the most well-known story about gleaning in our Bible. When Ruth began to glean in the fields of Boaz. Gleaning was God's determined way to help the poor and foreigners, they called strangers in the Bible, to help the poor and the foreigners in the land of Israel have something to eat. They had no jobs. They had no land of their own to grow any crops. They needed a way to get some food. And so God directed that when the landowner harvested his crops, he was to leave some for the gleaners. He said, when you harvest the olive tree, don't shake the branches and get every little olive off the bush. He said, when you harvest the corn or the barley or the wheat, don't go into the corners of the field. You take the main rows, but leave the edges. He said, when you go over the grapevine, don't pick every little grape that's not partially ripe. When you're out there in the main harvest and there's dozens and hundreds of ripened grapes, and then there are those that are not yet fully ripe, he said, leave those on the vine. Leave the olives in the top of the tree. Leave the grain in the corner of the field. Leave the unripened grapes on the vine for the poor and the stranger so that they can have some food. Now hear me, church, listen carefully. There was always a portion of the harvest to be gathered. There was always a remnant of the harvest, a handful of olives, a couple of bushels of grain, maybe a handful of grapes, not near as much as would be gathered in the main harvest, but there was always a remnant. There was always a gleaning in the field for the poor and the stranger to harvest. Now, I want you to notice that God refers to that in our text this morning in verse number 13. He says, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes. There it is right there, when the vintage is done. That's talking about the gleaning in the harvest field. Now, I want you to notice the beginning of verse 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. What's he talking about? When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there's going to be a shaking of an olive tree and there's going to be the gleaning of grapes. What's he talking about when thus it shall be? What he's referring to, folks, is what was being preached in verses 1 through 12 in chapter 24. God had a message to the nation of Israel, and he was giving it through Isaiah, his prophet, who was preaching to the people. And he said in verse number 1 there, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. You know what this is a message about? Judgment. The message of pending judgment. The judgment of God is coming, and God is going to turn things upside down. Now, some people think that this is a prophecy about Assyria under King Sennacherib coming in and invading the northern kingdom of Israel. Other people believe this is a prophecy about Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar coming to invade the southern kingdom of Judah. It could be either. It could be both. Isaiah's message to the children of Israel was judgment is coming. And it's going to be a devastating invasion. It's going to be cruel. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be desolation. There are going to be captives taken away to the islands and other places and other country. And there are going to be those who are left behind. And for those who are left behind, it's going to be a very difficult and hard time. That's what he's been talking about in verses 1 through 12. This coming judgment. And then in verse 13, he says, when thus it shall be. When this happens, when that judgment comes, when the desolation and the destruction and the cruelty and the invasion and the disbursement of the people come, when it comes, there will be like the shaking of an olive tree. There will be gleaning as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. Isaiah is saying, you know what? Even when the city is under judgment, when the country is under the judging hand of God, there's still going to be a remnant of people. There's going to be a remnant of people who will name Jehovah God as their God. There's going to be a remnant of people who will lift their voice and sing, as it says in verse number 14. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty and so forth. And so he says there's going to be judgment, and in this judgment there's going to be gleanings. And when the vintage is done, what's that mean? When the main harvest is over, the vintage is the abundance. When the abundance is over, when the vintage is over, there's still going to be a remnant that needs to be gathered, a gleaning that can be gathered. Now, folks, when this land is under the judgment of God, Isaiah is saying there will still be a remnant, a gleaning to gather. But now, wait a minute. He's not talking about corn. And he's not talking about barley. He's not talking about olives. And he's not talking about grapes. He's talking about people. In verse 14, grapes don't lift up their voice and sing. Corn doesn't sing. No, people lift up their voice and sing. What is he saying? He is saying when the nation is under the judging hand of God, there's still going to be a remnant, a small remnant of people who can be brought in, who will recognize the Lord God of Jehovah and who will sing and praise the Lord. There's always a gleaning. And that's not only true about the gleanings of olives and grapes and corn and barley and rice and wheat. It's true about people. Now, here is the application for today. Anybody with any kind of discernment or perception at all sees that this world is plunging into chaos and confusion. Now, surely you see that. If you have any kind of perception, the end of this age is drawing near. Say, Brother Terry, when do you think it will be? I don't know. I'm not a date setter. I can't be a date setter. But folks, just look around. Just look around. This world is plunging into chaos. And God makes it clear in His Word that the world will come under His judgment. Hear me this morning. As surely as Israel came under the judgment of Assyria and Sennacherib, and as surely as Judah came under the judgment of Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, this world is going to come under the judgment of God. And we can see the beginnings of that. We see the confusion, and we see the chaos, and we see the evil, and we see the greed, and we see the oppression, and the murder, and the rape, and the drug traffic, and the enslavement of sensuality, and the transgenderism, and all this that's going on. Say, what's going on? God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. Now, I've been reading the book of Jeremiah. I think the book of Jeremiah is one of the most pertinent books for this day and age that you'll read in your Bible. And boy, Jeremiah was preaching judgment's coming, and you know what the people of God said? We don't want to hear that. In fact, at one point in the book, the king said, take him and put him into prison. Shut him up. And to a degree, that's how the church is today. The church does not want to hear about God's judgment. We want to laugh. We want a warm and fuzzy feeling. We want to feel good. We want to be entertained. We want to be amused instead of amazed. Big difference. But we've never gone with political correctness or even fundamental correctness in this pulpit. We've kind of gone with what the Bible says. And the Bible says that the judgment of God is coming. But, hear me this morning, that's not my message. This is, when thus it shall be, in the midst of the land among the people. When that time comes, when the world is under the judging hand of a just and almighty God, people, there will be as the shaking of the olive tree. There will be as the gleaning of grapes. There will be people, one by one, maybe not as many as in previous decades and centuries, but there will be people who will be saved, and who will be redeemed, and who will repent and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for their salvation. So you know what I say to Faith Baptist Church? Let's shake the trees. Let's go into the corners of the field. Let's go over the vine one more time. Why? Because there's always a gleaning. You say, well, we see the judgment of God already coming. Why should we bother? Why should we give? Why should we go? Why should we work? Why should we labor? God's judgment has already started because there's always a gleaning. Isaiah said, when the judgment begins, there's going to be a gleaning. There's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a minority. And friend, that's true today. Even as God's judging hand comes on this world, we need to shake the trees and look in the corners of the fields and go over the vine one more time, because there's a couple of more olives, there's a few more grapes, there's a couple of bushels of grain that we got to get in. And folks, that's why we have a missions conference. And that's why we have a missions program. And that's why we have a bus ministry. And that's why we have a soul winning program. And that's why we print tracts and encourage people to hand them out. Because there's always a gleaning. And we have the opportunity to go here in the corners of these fields. And we have the opportunity to send these families coming to our missions conference to the corners of those fields. Because believe it or not, whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, you can't get past the Word of God. There's always a gleaning going on somewhere. There's always a gleaning. Always a gleaning. Always a gleaning. We have the opportunity to send these missionary families to shake the trees in Panama. We have the opportunity to send these missionary families to shake the trees in Hawaii, in Romania, and in Mexico. And Dan DeLong, our keynote speaker, still goes to Australia and New Guinea, where he spent time as a missionary and started churches that are still in existence. And you'll hear about it next Sunday morning at the 10 o'clock hour, maybe in his preaching. And I just come to our church again this morning to say it's missions conference time. And because it's missions conference time, I want to draw our attention to the fact that we need to go over the vine one more time. This thing is not done. It's not over. Our Savior has not come yet. He's not here yet. He's coming. He may be standing on the battle, on the very battlements, the edge of the battlements of glory, ready to come and snatch away His bride. But the trumpet has not sounded yet. And the voice of the archangel, you know what that means? I still hear the words of Jesus saying, "Occupy till I come." There's a harvest. There's a gleaning. I'm not going to join the chorus of naysayers and pessimists who say it's over, it's done, we can't do anything for God. I'm going to tell you, folks, when thus it shall be in the land, when the judging hand of God has already started, there'll still be like the shaking of an olive tree. There'll still be the gleaning of the grapes. There's a remnant of people going to the corners one more, going to the corners one more time. Go over the vine one more time. Shake the bushes one more time. There's always a remnant who will trust Christ as their Savior. Now let me say four things to you this morning. That was the lengthy part of the message. Let me say four things. First of all, in the Bible, agriculture is used to teach us about witnessing and spreading the gospel. In the Bible, over and over again, agriculture is used to teach us about witnessing and spreading the gospel. Can you remember places in the Bible? Can you remember times in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ where He used agriculture to teach about witnessing and spreading the gospel? Sure you can. Remember when He told the parable in Matthew chapter 13? A sower went forth to sow, and he sowed the seed, and he later on he defined his own parable by saying that the seed is what? The Word of God. The sower, the Christian, the child of God, goes out with the seed, the Word of God, and he sows the seed. And some of the seed falls on wayside ground, and the fowls of the air come and snatch it up before it has a chance to take root. And other seed falls on stony ground, and some seed falls on thorny ground. Ah, but some seed falls on good ground. And it brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, some 100, some 60, some 30. Two different places in the New Testament. Jesus used it. Remember when Jesus there was at the well of Samaria there? And the Samaritan woman? "Give me this water that I don't thirst." And he said, "I'd be happy to give you this water, which is eternal life, everlasting life. Go call your husband." "I don't have a husband." "No, I know you don't. You've had five. And the man you're living with right now, you're not married to." You know, somebody foolishly said that repentance is not found in the Gospel of John. You won't find the word repent in the Gospel of John, but you'll find repentance in the Gospel of John. She faced her sin. He brought her sin to her attention. But by the way, folks, before you ever lead anybody to salvation, you have to deal with the sin issue first. You can't gloss over that. That's what creates the very need for salvation in a person's mind and heart. They got to understand and realize how lost they are without Christ. Jesus brought that to her attention. And then, you know, she trusted in Him. She said, "Boy," she ran and told the men in the city, "Come see a man that told me all I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" She trusted Him. She believed Him. She received the salvation. And here came that crowd of people. And by this time, the disciples had joined Jesus at the well. And Jesus said to those disciples, He said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they're white now, already unto harvest." That's agriculture. over and over and over again. Paul used agriculture to teach about witnessing and spreading the gospel. He used agriculture to teach preachers, young Timothy, about preaching the Word of God. He said, you've got to have patience. Like a husbandman, like the laborer, sows the field and then waits patiently. I taught the boys in homiletics about this past Thursday at college. Look, fellas, a preacher has to have long suffering and patience. You don't plant a tomato plant on Tuesday and go out on Sunday and expect to have a tomato on there. You do that, you get frustrated. You get aggravated. Throw me this stinking plant. Rip it out of the ground. No. There's patience, and it takes time. It takes a lot of time. You know, there is no equation as to how much time the Spirit of God needs to work on a heart. Some people get saved, boom. I mean, the Spirit of God brings conviction, and they respond. And other people, the Spirit of God brings conviction, and they hold off, and they hold off. And sometimes you have to be patient and let God work through His Word and through His Spirit. It's called patience, like the farmer has to have patience. Jesus taught about the tares and the wheat. How many cases, how many stories, how many examples do I need to give us this morning? Over even the book of Psalms, he that goeth forth and beareth precious seed. Huh? And weepeth. It's talking about agriculture. Agriculture is used. So many lessons are taught about spreading the gospel from the industry of agriculture. Now let me say number two. There are three phases to the harvest. And by the way, this is not talking just about olives or grapes. This is true in your garden, in your backyard. There are three phases to the harvest. The first phase is first fruits. You know what that is. That's when you're watching the tomato plants, you're watching the cucumber vine, you're watching the green bean plants, and all of a sudden you see one ripe tomato, you see one mature cucumber, you see a handful of ready mature green beans, and you go to the garden and you pick the first fruits. And then, there's the main harvest. And if we get sun and warmth, those seed, those plants grow and the fruit is developed. And then you take your pails out there and you take your bushel baskets and you pick 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 the green beans, and you have green beans scattered all over the island in the kitchen counter that you're going to put into jars and preserve and can. Then you go and you get the tomatoes. I was telling Alan last night at the house, I remember years when we would go to the garden and have 4 5-gallon buckets full of ripe tomatoes in one picking as the main harvest. The main harvest. And then cut the okra and cut the okra and cut the okra. And, I mean, the main harvest where it's almost coming in every day. You almost get overloaded with it. So you know what you do? You bring it to church and set it in the foyer. Like you're doing some good deed. Oh, come on. You're not doing some good deed. You just got more than you can handle. I'm teasing. A little bit. Here's the main harvest. You got the first fruits. Then you got the main harvest. But then what comes later? The gleanings. You go back and you get that last couple of tomatoes. You get that last little picking of beans before you pull the plants up. You get that last little picking of cucumbers. It's the gleanings. You don't want them to go to waste. You go back out because nothing better than a fresh cucumber salad. Oh, yeah. A fresh sliced tomato with a little cottage cheese on it. Man, be careful not to get any on your forehead. Your tongue will slap your brains out trying to get to it. Amen. All right. I know that's old, but that's still funny. Amen. I love that. I love it. There's the gleanings. So there are three phases to the harvest. You've got the first fruits and you've got this main harvest, and then you've got the gleanings. And folks, the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same way. The spreading of the gospel, there's the first fruits. A handful of people respond to the gospel message. And then you keep going back out and you keep and you go and you sow and you sow and you sow and you sow the seed. And then there's a main harvest. And wow, there's a lot of folks getting saved. A lot of folks trusting the Lord. And then it kind of dies off a little bit. But you don't quit. You don't stop. You don't stop your missions program because you don't have 20 people getting saved every week. There's gleanings. There's gleanings. So you go to the corners and you go to the olive tree and you go to the grapevine. You go over the vine one more time. There are three phases to the harvest. I want to say number three this morning. God is interested in the gleanings. God is interested in the gleanings. Now, the gleanings could have been left in the tree, on the tree. The gleanings could have been left on the vine. The gleanings could have been left in the fields. But no, God said, I want you to go back to the corners and the trees and the vine one more time. Leave it for the strangers. Leave it for the poor. Let them go back and glean because I want you to get that in. Don't go to waste. Now hear me, folks. There are places in the world right now, in 2016, there are places in the world where the main harvest is still going on. Right now. And I'll tell you what I think. I think it's among the dark-skinned people. The brown and the dark-skinned people. Brother Frost, I think where you're going is a part of the world where the main harvest is still being brought in. Man alive. I need to show this. Remember when we gave some money to Brother Wyatt's stadium crusade 2 years ago? He had another stadium crusade just last month in July. 1,700 people came to Christ as Savior in that stadium crusade. It was humongous. Say, I don't believe those numbers. Well, I've been to the places where the dark-skinned and brown-skinned people are getting saved. I've seen the crowds. I've preached to them. Makes you wonder what we're still doing here in America. Trying to reach people who aren't interested. Who don't want to know. You know, they pat themselves on the back because they come to church once a week. I've done a good deed for God. It does. I was talking to a preacher this week. He's talking about a friend of his who went to the mission field. And you know what he said to me? He said, I hope it doesn't ruin him. Hope it doesn't ruin him. Because a preacher can come back banging his head away here in the United States of America trying to rally God's people to serve the Lord. And it's like pulling teeth out of an old cow. Hard. And man, brown-skinned people are just jumping in. Brown-skinned, dark-skinned people are jumping in to serve the Lord. There's a main harvest going on in some places in the world today. But listen, a lot of the world is in the gleaning stages. I believe that's where we are right here in America. I believe we're in the gleaning. I don't think an honest person can stand today and say the harvest is like it was 30 and 40 and 50 years ago. I don't believe that. I was part of that harvest. I was a result of that harvest in the 70s. It was unbelievable. I think it's gleanings. Right here in America. The truth of the matter is, it's probably gleanings where some of these missionaries are going. I'm not sure how it is. In Mexico and Panama, that's the brown-skinned people. I think the main harvest is still in those areas. But over in Romania, where Catholicism ruled for years and years, no, communism ruled for years and years, it's the gleanings. Gleanings. But folks, God is interested in the gleanings. Will you think with me just for a minute here? Just because it's one instead of 10 or 10 instead of 100, you think God's not interested? Can I remind you about Jesus' trip that he was taken one day and he stopped under a sycamore tree and he saw one man in that tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house today. He was after the one. Can I remind you about the time he got into a boat and went across the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee to the land of Gadara, where was a maniac, possessed by devils, cut himself with a rock, lived in the graveyards, and Jesus reached him and then got in the boat and went back. One. Well, don't tell me Jesus is not interested in the gleanings. Just the one. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He's just not the Lord of the first fruits. He's not Lord just of the main harvest. He is Lord also of the gleanings. People are still coming to Christ in different areas of the world. Here in the United States of America. Hey, listen, think about this. Brother Frost here. I didn't know he was coming this morning. I don't know his whole story, but evidently there came a time, he said he was a contractor, constructor, construction, right? And there came a time when God said, I want you to go to Tanzania. You think God is sending the Frost family to Tanzania just to send them away from America? Why is he sending them? Because there's a harvest over there. There's a harvest. And he answered the call. And God is still calling people to go to places like Romania and Australia. Read the letters of the missionaries we support in Australia. Read how thrilled they are just to have one person talk to them about Christ. One. One. But people are still going. Because God is still calling. And why is God calling? Because God's interested in the gleanings. God's interested in the gleanings. Go over the vine one more time. Go into the corners and shake the trees. Because God is still interested in the gleanings. And let me say number four this morning. Listen very carefully. Giving so that missionaries can go over the vine one more time is still a good investment. Giving so that missionaries can go over the vine one more time is still a good investment. You said, my goodness, man, why would you talk about money on Sunday morning at missions conference time? That's like trying to talk about football without talking about the quarterback. That's like trying to talk about this baseball season without talking about the Cubs for the first time in 100 years. Folks, we got to get beyond this thing of, oh, money, money. Oh, and the church talks about money. What are you talking about? It takes money to do anything. It takes money to drive your car. It takes money to live in a house. It takes some money to eat. It takes money for a church to operate. And it takes money to send missionaries. You know where that comes from? It doesn't come from the federal government. It doesn't come from the state government. It comes from God's church. It comes from me. It comes from you. Somebody said, well, money doesn't go very far these days. If you're talking about certain investments, I agree with you. Talking about going to the grocery store, these ladies will say, that's true. Come out of there with something like this, $60. What? Money doesn't go very far these days. All it does when you invest it in missions. It does when we invest it in David Dill and Panama and Brother DeLong we already support, but Brother Hilton Biddle and Brother Jones and Brother Norton. When we invest in these missionary families, money goes a long way. You know why? They go to the corners. They go to the trees. They go over the vine one more time. And somebody trusts Christ as their Savior. And you know what happens? That somebody tells somebody else. And the gospel multiplies. And those two tell somebody else. And the gospel multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. All because people have learned that with the gift of money, we can send missionaries to go over the vine one more time. Go over the vine. You know what Missions Conference is all about? This brother said it in his prayer this morning. He prayed something like this: Lord, if there are people here who've never given you themselves, never made you Lord of their life, I pray that this conference would be a time that they would do. Yeah. When you give yourself to God and He becomes Lord, that carries your wallet and your purse with it. Missions Conference time is about you and me. Two things. Lord, do you want me to go? Okay, you don't want me to go, then you must want me to give. Because it's one or the other. So am I getting involved? Oh, you're involved. You're involved. Oh, no, you're involved. Now, whether or not you get it, whether or not you take your responsibility, that's up to you. I would encourage you to get involved. Do your responsibility. Enjoy it. God's going to bless you manifold ways in return. He's going to bless this church collectively in return. And you know what's going to happen? Oh, look at there. Got a couple more olives. Look at there. Found another ear. Got another bushel. Ah, there's one. Going over the vine. One more time. And fruit is credited to your account. And you never left America. What Paul said in Philippians 4, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. We're going to go over the vine one more time. We're going to do that here in Bradley and Bourbonnais and Kankakee. We was going through the vine yesterday. I was rejoicing yesterday talking to some people who've recently been saved in the corners, in the gleanings, shaking of the olive tree, going over the vine. Yeah. We're going over the corner, into the corners. We're going over the vine here. We're going to send these missionaries to do the same in those respective countries. Over the vine one more time. When you see the judgment of God started, there will still be a gleaning. Go get them. For the Lord's sake. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Father in heaven, I rejoice in your word and all that it teaches us. And I rejoice in the opportunity to have this missions conference and Lord, to further the work that you've called us to do. And I pray that we would examine the scripture, Lord, and take responsibility and in some way be involved either in going or giving. Thank you for this family, the Frost family, Lord, who's answered the call to go. For the most folks in this room, we don't have to leave our homes like they do. They have to leave their home in Indiana. We don't have to leave our homes here in Illinois and Indiana. But Lord, we should be willing to send those who are willing to leave their homes. So I pray that this missions conference will indeed reach out and grab our hearts and help us to understand that even though the world is plunging into judgment, there's always a gleaning. And may we be, Lord, ever involved in it. Until the day comes that we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many would say this morning, Pastor, I heard the message, God challenged my heart, and I want to obey the Lord and do His will for missions in this coming year. And just pray, I present myself to the Lord for His will for my life. Would you slip your hand up this morning if that's you? And I pray that you'll do that. God bless you. God bless you for that. Amen. Thank you. You may take your hands down. I see hands still going up. You may take your hand down. Let me ask this question today. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor Terry, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pastor Angel, I don't know if I'm saved. Don't know if it's heaven or hell for me. And I have no assurance of either. Pray for me. Anybody like that, would you slip your hand in the air? We'd love to have the opportunity to show you from the Bible how to be saved. Anybody like that from side to side, front to back? Anybody like that this morning? If you're here this morning, you've already been saved. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Of course, you come and be obedient to Christ in that way this morning, and the Lord will be pleased. And if the Lord spoke to your heart, now this is really kind of the beginning right now of the conference that'll start next Sunday. And church, I'm just asking all of us, let's present ourselves to the Lord again. I give myself to you, Lord. I don't think God's going to move me from pastoring Faith Baptist Church, but I have to give myself to Him. I have to give my heart to Him again. Lord, Thy will be done. And if you don't want me to go, then you want me to give some way, somehow, some amount. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Let's let Jesus be truly Lord of the harvest in our lives. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies are playing. And you obey the Lord this morning. As the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you obey Him this morning. Go over the vine one more time. When thus it shall be in the land among the people, in the midst of the people, when you see the judgment coming, know that there's still a shaking of the trees, there's still a gleaning of the grapes, there's still somebody to win. Still somebody to be saved, still somebody to be reached for the gospel.